isn't it? We're in the book of Philippians. If you have a Bible with you, I'd like to turn there to the book of Philippians this morning. We're going to have our baby dedication ceremony, or I don't know what you call it, just at the end of the service in just a few minutes. But I'd like to, we've been doing a series in the book of Philippians in the New Testament, great little book, and there's so much truth in that, and we are in chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4. We looked at the first few verses last Sunday morning, and we're going to continue in the chapter today, Philippians chapter 4. One of the great themes of the book of Philippians is joy, having joy in our lives and rejoicing. And that's so important. The Lord wants us to be able to rejoice and be happy in Him. In Him, there's not a lot of happiness in the things of this world, but in the Lord, there's joy. Now, the book of Philippians was written by a man named Paul under the Lord's inspiration or under God's guidance, the Holy Spirit's guidance, and Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ. He went around telling others about Christ and spreading the good news, and he was in prison at the time that he wrote this epistle. We know that because in the first chapter, he talks about being in bonds. And so he was in prison when he's writing this, and yet he's still writing about joy, having joy. Isn't that something? And that's because he could have joy in the Lord in spite of his circumstances that he was facing. Here in chapter 4, the first verse starts off and says, stand fast. Stand fast in the Lord, as we see in verse 1 of this chapter. In verses 2 and 3, he's talking about unity. And he actually admonishes a couple of ladies that were in the church. He says, you ladies need to be of the same mind in the Lord. So evidently, they were having some type of a tiff between one another. He says, you need to be of the same mind in the Lord. And then he says in verse 4, rejoice. And if you're there in your Bibles, if you look at verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice. Now, let's continue on. We'll read verses 5 through 9. Verse 5 says, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. One of the key thoughts in this passage that we just read is peace. You see that it comes up twice in there. Peace. The word peace is found in the Bible over 400 times. Over 400 times the word peace is found in God's word. If you hold your place in chapter 4, if you go back to chapter 1 and verse 2, the Bible says there in the salutation or the greeting of this letter, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. And that's real peace. That's peace in the soul that comes from God. People in this world are looking for peace, and we, of course, we would like to see outward peace. No one likes war. That's not a pleasant thing. No one likes conflict and turmoil and terrorism and all those things. We want to enjoy peace, don't we? But it's more important that we have peace in here, in the soul, a peace that comes from God. Jesus said these words to his disciples. Let me read you a couple of verses. In John chapter 14 and verse 27, it says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He also said these words to his disciples in John chapter 16 and verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So he's not saying you're never going to have problems. He said you're going to have tribulation. And we're all familiar with that. It doesn't mean that if you follow the Lord in your life, you're never going to have any problems, nothing's ever going to go wrong. But you can have a peace here in your heart. Several times in the Bible, God is referred to as the God of peace. He's called the God of peace in a number of different places. So peace is something that God gives us. Now, the first kind of peace I want to mention before we really get into the passage this morning is peace with God. Peace with God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 says, therefore, it's another place in the Bible, this statement is found, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And what that means is that you're at peace with God. Our sin, the things that we have done that displease the Lord, the things that go contrary to the precepts in His Word, the commandments in His Word, our sin has put a barrier between us and God. It sets a barrier between us and Him. And we cannot enjoy the peace of God in our lives when sin is there. And we basically are at odds with God. That's what happens. But salvation through Jesus Christ, which is a gift of Jesus Christ, brings peace with God so that we're no longer at odds with Him, but we're at peace with Him. And that's a gift of God. We're going to talk more about that a little bit at the end of the service. So that's the peace with God. And I trust that this morning you've made your peace with God. That's basically what you've heard that statement before, making your peace with someone. We all need to make our peace with God, with the Lord, and get that settled by faith, by believing in Jesus Christ and having that peace with Him. Now let's look at this passage. It talks about the peace of God in this passage that we read this morning. So going back to Philippians chapter 4, verse 5 says this, and we read it a minute ago, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. The word moderation basically means mildness or gentleness. It means having a peaceful spirit. So it goes along with peace. And it basically means this, being reasonable. Being reasonable. Are you a reasonable person? Sometimes we meet people who just aren't reasonable, are they? You can't get along with them because they're just not reasonable. But the Bible says this, let your moderation be known unto all men. In other words, you ought to be a reasonable person. You ought to be someone that others can get along with. You ought to be mild. You ought to be gentle in the sense that you're moderate with others. And that flows out of verse 4. Remember, verse 4 said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. If you're rejoicing in the Lord, if you're happy in God, you can be moderate towards other people and not be harsh. And when you have peace in your heart, you can have moderation and not be harsh towards others. Listen to some of the things that the Lord Jesus said in the Beatitudes, or what's famously called the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5, He said, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Wow. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Now, God is kind on this earth. You know, that miserable guy down the road, that's God still lets the sun come up on him, doesn't he? Just as much as on the person who's trying to live for God and is trying to do what's right and live a righteous life. There's a neat passage in the book of Psalms. I'm going to turn there, Psalm 130. You can join me if you want or listen as I read these verses, Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4. Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4, says this. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. If God marked every little thing that we did wrong, we wouldn't even be sitting here this morning. We wouldn't be here this morning. We'd be cast away from Him into hell forever. But the Bible says there's forgiveness. God offers forgiveness. There's mercy with Him. There's mercy with the Lord, that He may be feared. Praise God for that. So God in that way acts moderate to us while we're on. Now I'm not saying there isn't a day of judgment coming, But while you're alive on this earth, God is merciful to you. God is merciful. He gives you another breath every day. He lets the sun come up on you. He sends the rain on you. He provides for you. You've got air to breathe, which we all need that. You don't survive very long without oxygen. Remember, those things are all a gift from God to us. And let your moderation be known unto all men, we're told here. So as a child of God, we should be reasonable people. And what's the reason why? Verse 5 says, the Lord is at hand. Going back to the book of Philippians, chapter 4 and verse 5, the Lord is at hand. And it's something that ought to be known unto all men, just not our friends and our neighbors, our relatives, the people we're close to, our fellow Christians, but all people ought to know our moderation. The Lord is at hand means a couple of things. First of all, it means the Lord's coming again. And he is coming again, isn't he? The Lord is coming again. And keep that in mind. And when the Lord does come again, he's going to set things straight. So don't worry about the guy that's doing whatever to you. God's going to set everything straight when he comes again. And secondly, the Lord is near means the Lord is at hand means his presence. God sees everything that goes on. He's aware of everything that goes on. Nothing is hid from his eyes. So the Lord is at hand. The next couple verses we see about praying. And notice it talks about peace here. Verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, when it says be careful for nothing, that doesn't mean that you're not careful crossing the street or you're not careful on the job site or things like that. I used to work with my uncles putting up siding for a year or so, and that was enough. It wasn't a highly demanding job, but sometimes they would goof around and they'd like to come up and shake the ladder while you're up on the ladder, say, careful, be careful. You know, and they're shaking the ladder, you're trying to nail on siding, and you know, now that's when you need to be careful. But in this verse, when it says be careful for nothing, it means being all worried and worked up about things, being anxious. Don't be anxious and worked up about things. What's the solution to that? Well, it says right in the verse, come to the Lord in prayer, in everything by prayer and supplication. Now, that's a stronger word. It means really asking and beseeching the Lord for things. Come to God with your needs. It says there, with thanksgiving. We ought to thank God. And when we pray, we really should start by thanking the Lord in our prayers. Not just, Lord, give me, give me, give me, but thank God for things. Lord, I thank you for this. I thank you for that you've done in my life. I thank you for my family. I thank you for my salvation. I thank you for the things, the blessings that I have. And thank God for those things. But then let your requests be made known. Let your requests be made known unto God. God wants us to bring our requests to him. Some people in some religions believe in a God who doesn't care about them. They believe in a God who's distant from them and is, but the Bible teaches something much different, that God loves us and God cares about us. And the Bible says in another place, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you, because he cares for you. He cared for you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for your sins. The Lord cares for us, and so he wants us to bring our requests to him and make those known unto him. Now, verse 7 is really amazing. It says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's that word again, peace. The peace of God, which passeth understanding. That means it's really beyond our comprehension. It's something that we just can't explain. It's something you have to experience. It's just that settledness in your heart that everything's going to be okay. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe you've had situations where you were troubled about something, and you didn't know what to do, and you were anxious, and you were being careful in the sense that you were worried. But you went to the Lord, and you made your request made known unto God. And all of a sudden, God's peace. Some of you are nodding your heads. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? And God's peace just comes into your heart, and you just know things are going to be all right. It's going to be okay. Because, and the Bible says God's peace will keep, shall keep. That word means like to, it's a military term. It means to guard your hearts and your minds. Worry is like a conflict between the heart and the mind. The mind is trying to be rational, but the heart is all worked up. And that's what worry is like. It's a conflict. So we need our hearts and our minds guarded by the Lord that we might enjoy his peace. Our word worry, the English word worry, comes from an Anglo-Saxon word which means to strangle. And that's pretty much what worry does to you, doesn't it? It chokes you, it strangles you. You get worked up and worried to the point, you know, sometimes you can get so worried, you can make yourself physically sick. And that happens to people. Maybe you were like that on the day before your wedding, you know, just so worried and so nervous you're actually sick. And that takes place. You see pictures all the time on YouTube videos and things of, you know, bride and groom are standing up there and all of a sudden one of them's on the ground. You know, the groom, usually, I don't know why, he just collapses. He's laid out flat. He faints because he's so nervous and so worked up and worried. We see praying. Now let's go to our thinking. In verse 8, our thinking. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. We read this list before. But we move on to our thinking. Thinking on the right kind of things. And that's going to help us have the peace of God in our hearts. Whatsoever things are true. That's pretty obvious. What's true? I'm going to tell you a story. One time we were flying, and I don't remember if it was all of us. I remember Nathaniel being with me. And I don't know where we were flying. We were coming back to Toronto from somewhere. And we didn't have seats together. So I'm on the aisle on the left side of the plane. Nathaniel's a row in front of me on the window. And there's a guy sitting beside him. It wasn't a real big plane. And this guy sitting beside him keeps looking at the stewardess, flight attendant. He keeps looking at her. And at first I thought, okay, maybe he's her boyfriend or something. But he keeps looking at her and it's almost... And, you know, I got convinced in my mind that that guy was a terrorist. I did. In my mind, I thought, that guy, I bet. And he kept looking at his phone, and he was taking a little video shot. And I thought, it's probably his last words, you know, that he's sending a video to the other guys in his cell or whatever. And I thought, if that guy gets out of his seat and starts heading up the aisle, I'm going to tackle him. You know? Honestly. That was how I honestly started thinking that. Lord, I'm coming home. You know, this is it. You know, we're not going to make it to our destination. I honestly started to think that. I realized I was probably profiling, but I started to think. And then I was texting Nathaniel, like, watch that guy. You know, what's good? And because he kept leaning over talking to Nathaniel. You remember that? He kept leaning over talking to him and stuff. And so I either texted Nathaniel or he told me later. I said, who is that guy? He says, he's a real estate agent, Dad. And he was at some seminar in the States and flying back to Toronto. And those little video clips he was taking are, he's just sending a message back to his real estate team. Oh, okay. But whatsoever things are true. We can get ourselves thinking on things that aren't even true and get ourselves worked up. Maybe things that aren't even true according to God's word. Maybe there are things, circumstances that aren't even true. And we worry about things. The Bible says, think on the right things. Things that are honest. That really means honorable. Honorable. Whatsoever things are just. That means right and equitable. And I really wasn't giving that guy a fair shake, was I? Because I'm thinking, assuming the worst. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Well, that's pretty clear. Clean and innocent, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, well spoken of, if there be any virtue, that's excellence, if there be any praise, things that are commendable, think on these things. It's interesting because the Lord Jesus Christ is all of those things. He is the truth. He's lovely. He's honorable. He's just. He's of good report. He's worthy of our praise. Think on these things. How we think, of course, is going to affect what we do. The things we think upon will come out in our speech and in our actions, don't they? As the Word of God says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And we can all dwell on the negative and the nasty. But that's not going to lead us to Christ-likeness. That's not going to lead us down a good path. And it's not going to lead us to having the peace of God in our hearts. So we're admonished, think on these things. Think on the right things. You know, what's our thought life? Earlier on, as we opened the service, I read Psalm 19, and the very last verse of that psalm says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." What are we thinking on? Listen to this verse from the book of Isaiah, chapter 26. "Thou," means God, you, Lord, "thou wilt keep him in perfect peace," there's that word peace again, "whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." You want to have the peace of God in your life? Bring your requests to the Lord in prayer. Don't get all worked up and worried about things, but bring them to God in prayer. Secondly, think on the right things. If our mind is filled with good things, if we're thinking about God's word. And that's why we need to be in God's word and reading it and learning it so we can get thinking about it and meditating on it. If we're thinking about good things, and I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking and, you know, that getting off into that extreme, but we ought to think on the right things. That's going to help us have God's peace in our lives. If we're always thinking on the negative, we're going to be worked up, aren't we? Now, the last thing we saw praying, thinking, now doing. Look at verse 9. Read that once again. "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Another way to have God's peace in your heart is doing the things that you've learned. Are we living up to the level of Christian knowledge that we have? It comes down to just a simple word, obedience. Obedience. If you go back with me to chapter 3 and verse 16, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." So to that level that we have attained. And whatever level you're at in your Christian life, you should live up to that level and just do those things. And the promise is that the God of peace shall be with you. If you're following God's word as you ought to be, you're obeying the Lord, you're going to have God's peace. So very simply, it's praying right, thinking right, and doing right will lead to enjoying the peace of God in your life. And if you've not believed on Jesus Christ as your Savior, as I said earlier, that's the first step, is you need to find peace with God. Peace with God. People all over this world, as I said before, are looking for inner peace. There's a lot of turmoil in this world, isn't there? There's a lot of turmoil in people's hearts. Sometimes the people that seem that they ought to be the happiest are really the saddest. We hear about celebrities. It seems like they've got it all. Fame and fortune and riches. And what do? Go out and commit suicide. They weren't happy in their hearts, were they? There wasn't peace there, even though on the outside it looked like they had it all. People are looking for peace. There's a great story in the Bible that's told in the Gospels where Jesus was with his disciples and he came in the middle of the day and he sat down by a well. Now, of course, in that day and time, they didn't have electric pumps or anything, so people would have to come to the well and let down a bucket with a rope to get water, to draw water. While Jesus is sitting there by that well, his disciples went into the village there to buy some food. And a lady came out to the well to draw water. And the Lord said to her, "I can offer you living water." Living water. And that kind of got her interest, and she thought, well, what's going on here? What's living? What are you talking about, living water? So as it goes on, comes out in this story that this woman, Jesus says to her, well, go get your husband. Go call your husband. And she says, "I don't have a husband." And he said, "That's right." And remember, the Lord knows everything. He said, "You've had five husbands. And right now you're living with a man who's not your husband." Obviously, that woman was looking for something in her life to fill the emptiness, wasn't she? If you've been down the altar five times And then at the last, she figures, probably, what's the point? I'll just live with the guy. There's no sense getting married. That means she's searching for something in her life. She was searching for peace. She was searching for something to fill the emptiness in her life. And nothing was working. And she said to the Lord, I want that living water. I want that. And of course, Christ offered her that. God offers you his peace, his forgiveness, and his salvation. It's a gift through Jesus Christ. All the religious efforts in the world will not bring peace in your heart. All the pleasures and the stuff and the achievements of this life won't bring peace. Only God can bring his peace into our hearts. And it comes as a gift. It's a gift. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. I give unto you. Are you here this morning without peace? I'd encourage you to come to Christ. If you're here today, Christian, and you struggle sometimes, you've got peace with God, you know that that's settled, you've believed in the Lord, but the peace of God sometimes comes and goes in your life. Follow the things that are written here. How you pray and how you live and what you do and what you think upon is going to help you to have the peace of God in your life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for a word of prayer this morning. I'm going to have what's called an invitation. It's just an opportunity for us to spend a moment meditating and thinking about the words we heard today. I encourage you to pray there at your seat. And if you'd like to come, you're welcome to come to the front. And I would be glad to talk to you or pray with you if you have a need in your life. So I'm just going to ask that we stand together as the piano plays, just in quiet prayer. I'm going to have a word of prayer and then we'll start. And just if you'd stand with heads bowed, or if you wouldn't mind, and eyes closed, and just think about the message from God's word today. Do you have peace with God? God offers that to you.